And as we mentioned earlier, Britain has raised its terrorism threat level from substantial to severe because of ISIS or the Islamic State. It's believed that at least 500 people have traveled from Britain to fight for Islamic militants in Syria and Iraq. So how many have traveled from the U.S.? And why are they going? This week alone, we heard of two who died. Also this week, NPR's counterterrorism correspondent Dina Temple-Raston has been reporting on Americans traveling overseas to fight with militant groups. Her research shows that the number has more than doubled since January and is now more than 140. Dina joins us from the NPR studios in Washington. And Dina, start with that basic question. What did you find? Why are Americans going?
Well, I think we need to start by making a distinction that not all the groups that are fighting in the region, in Iraq and Syria, are necessarily extremist. There are some secular, very nationalist groups like the Free Syrian Army, which is the one the U.S. is looking to support. And some of the Americans appear to be joining those more nationalist, secular groups. Mm-hmm. As I said in the stories this week, you know, as the battle is ground on, more of these extremist and Islamist groups are popping up. And so they're sort of encapsulating some of these Americans who are coming.
Well, that's tough. I mean, that's the tough part of all the decision-making the White House is in the middle of right now. You know, who do you support? So you're saying some Americans are going to support groups that are more nationalist, and initially the U.S. was supporting, in Syria in particular. But let's talk about one that you reported on this week in your series, Eric Haroon. He crossed into Syria last year in early 2013. Here's a bit of a video he posted on his Facebook page while he was there.
Bashar al-Assad, your days are numbered. You're going down in flames. You should just quit now while you can and leave. You're going to die no matter what. Where you go, we will find you and kill you.
So, Dina, tell us more about Eric Haroon. Who's he and what happened to him?
Well, he was a former private in the U.S. Army, and he'd never been stationed overseas but had a car accident while he was on duty here in the U.S., and it was bad enough that he needed to get a metal plate put in his head, and then he was discharged. So he was a former private in the Army. So he wanted people to think he was born Muslim, but in fact, he wasn't. He was a convert, and he wasn't particularly religious. What he was is he was sort of what we call in the story a war tourist. I mean, he went to Egypt and was there during a lot of the uprising for Tahrir Square, and he saw what was going on in Syria, and he wanted to witness that too. So he thought he would actually see a revolution that would topple the Syrian government. So he started out fighting with the Free Syrian Army, one of these more nationalist groups. And the problem with Syria and Iraq is in these battles that you have maybe a secular group fighting Assad right next to another group that might be an al-Qaeda affiliate. Mm. And that's what happened to him. So he ended up getting swept up. He said he thought he was in a group called Jabhat al-Nusra, which is al-Qaeda's arm in Syria. It turns out that wasn't exactly right, but that's where he thought he was.
Well, and he was arrested when he returned to the U.S. Is going to fight alongside militants explicitly illegal?
Well, there's some gray area here, certainly. You know, also the gray area for counterterrorism officials is, you know, before when people went to go and fight with al-Qaeda or went to go and join al-Qaeda, there wasn't a lot of gray area as to whether or not they had joined a terrorist group. The problem with Syria is that a lot of regular Muslims are going to Syria because they feel it's their duty, that Assad is a bad man, that he is killing women and children. And as a good Muslim, not as an extremist Muslim, not as an anti-American Muslim, but just as a good Muslim, you feel you need to go there and lend a hand.
Well, some of them, you point out, might have been prompted back when we did see Assad gassing women and children. And you say some American Muslims are comparing this to the Spanish Civil War, when it was perfectly fine for some people to go off and fight against what they saw were atrocities.
Well, I'm not sure that Muslims are saying it's like
No, they're not. You know, you were.
But to them, you know, in the same way that you... There's enough bad things that people are seeing on the internet about what's going on to Assad to drive someone who feels that they ought to lend a hand to drive them there. Some people are going to work in hospitals. Some people are actually working in refugee camps. And some make their way across the border, maybe fight for a month, and then come out.
Yeah. Well, one of the last questions you tackled in your series is whether ISIS is looking to attack the U.S. as some fear. You spoke with Audrey Kurth Cronin, a professor at George Mason University, an expert on terrorism. Let's listen to a little of what she said.
To some extent, ISIS's next moves depend upon how we react. And if we're talking about what an enormous threat they are and lionizing them, that ultimately, even if unintentionally, helps them.
Dina Temple-Rassin, your thoughts on that? You know, if two-pronged, if people are going because there are some Americans who feel that they have to defend, let's say, other Muslim women and children in Syria, that may be not a fight they're taking back here to the U.S. But then we're hearing that maybe ISIS gets, as she said, lionized and something changes.
Right. And remember, they have territory in Iraq and Syria. And some people are attracted to the thought that they might actually be living in a Muslim homeland, in a caliphate, something that al-Qaeda had been promising to do, but never really was able to do. So there's a lot of gray area here, which is what we were trying to say in the story, that it's very hard to tell who's a threat and who isn't. And when they go into Syria, the intelligence there for the U.S. is so awful that they really don't know who's fighting with who and who, when they come back, are the ones who have finished their what they consider to be their Muslim duty and the ones who have come back with something else completely in mind.
A new agenda. NPR's counterterrorism correspondent Dina Temple-Rassin. We'll link you to all her terrific reporting this week. Dina, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Complicated subject with gray areas. You're listening to Here and Now.